This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It was a 5-count indictment that came out today. You listed the charges there of attempted kidnapping, which is a C felony, the luring of a child, which is an E felony, the attempted assault in the second degree, which is also a felony, and then you had two misdemeanors, the Berg third is also a felony, and then the misdemeanor of endangering the welfare of a child. These are some serious charges here, with the highest being a C felony, which has a max of 15 years in jail. The luring charge is actually rather unique. I mean, I can't remember, quite frankly, in my almost 8 years as DA, if I ever saw a luring charge. It's a very unusual charge. A defense lawyer, is going to attack the luring charge in this way right here, because in order to have the luring charge, you actually have to have the predicate charge of kidnapping or some other felony, murder, rape, some other felony charge. You got to have the actual initial charge that you can prosecute in order to get the luring charge. So in this case right here, the accusation is that the individual was attempting to kidnap the child, and in the course of that attempted kidnapping, the individual attempted to lure the child as well. So if a defense attorney show that there's not, beyond a reasonable doubt on the kidnapping charge, then the luring charge is going to go away automatically. So that's why the luring charge is rather unique. And the fact that, like I said, I can't remember, ever seeing that type of charge in 8 years.
And I think it's really interesting with this case in particular that they were able to get video evidence, at least to some capacity, nobody's seen it yet, of the situation unfolding. Now, with that being said, do you think the defense might try to present some type of argument that our client wasn't in a sound state of mind or he was experiencing some type of psychosis episode? And if so, would that even fly for this type of a case?
Well, sure. I mean, any time a defense attorney brings up their client's mental incapacity, that could have a bearing on the case. So at any time, in the course of the proceeding, the defense lawyer could have brought it up today at arraignment. They don't have to. The defense lawyer can bring it up at the next pretrial conference. Okay. At any time, the defense lawyer has an opportunity to bring forward a person's mental incapacity. So that's always a potential issue in any criminal proceeding.
And the DA also said that they were considering looking into more charges. Couple questions with that. One would be the deadline for them to, I guess, come up with a conclusion if they are going to pursue more charges. And if so, what else could there be to charge with?
Well, the second part, I don't know, because again, I'm not privy to have evidence anymore, obviously. The first part will just depends on the statute of limitations, okay? A particular crime. If you remember, You know, in my time as DA, you know, I said it all the time after the initial arraignment. So, you know, whenever you have the initial arraignment on a case, this is before the indictment, okay, just the initial arraignment after an arrest, okay, which is what happened here, okay. This individual was arrested back in February, okay. He was arraigned back in February, and you know, as a DA does in all cases, okay, they can in the course now of the investigation, because after the initial arraignment, what's going to happen now is the grand jury investigation, okay. So in the course of that investigation, more charges may come out, which is what happened here. Okay, so if you recall, originally he was arraigned on the burglary third, the endangerment, assault third, and harassment. So he was originally arraigned on four charges back in February, and then at that time, you know, the DA said that, hey, this is going to go now to the next step, okay? The next step is the grand jury investigation. And in that grand jury investigation, you always have the potential to find out more charges and to uncover new evidence and to talk to a new witness, whatever it may be, to get more evidence to present now to the grand jury for the grand jury process. And that's exactly what happened here. So they went into the grand jury with only the original charges of the Berg third, endangerment, assault third, and harassment. And then they come out of the grand jury now with the kidnapping, the luring, the Berg third is the same, the endangerment has been added on, and then the assault third went to an assault attempted assault second. So obviously, you know, the DA, you know, found, you know, and was able to establish additional evidence in the course of that investigation phase, and, you know, charges were changed. And that, again, Zach, in my 8 years, that happened all the time. You know, that on a weekly basis, we came out of the grand jury sometimes with different charges, additional charges than the original arraignment charges.
All right, John. And then just to wrap things up here, is there anything else about this that maybe I didn't ask, or something that you would like to add, or something that'd be important for our audience to take away from this?
Well, I think the one thing that's important here, okay, is that, you know, again, I'm not there anymore, obviously, okay, so I don't know the timing of things, but I can tell you, you know, just from I use this phrase a lot in my time as DA, you know, in giving you a law school hypothetical here, all right? You know, this matter was, like I said before, arraigned in February, all right? Back then, as soon as the arraignment happens, what the district attorney's office does is that now they're going to put the matter, at some point into a grand jury. So there's going to be an investigative phase now of the grand jury, okay? It makes logical sense to me that investigation took place soon after the original arraignment, okay? Which would have been well before Detective High's podcast was done, okay? You see what I'm getting at here, okay? So, you know, the narrative out there that the district attorney's office here only did something or only investigated this after the podcast came out and after it was made public doesn't make any logical sense to me, okay? Because I know how they operate there, okay? And I know that once the original arraignment happens back in February, that investigation is going to start immediately, okay? So for the narrative being out there that somehow this wasn't investigated or nothing was done until it came out on a podcast makes zero logical sense to me. And I think that's important for the public to know.
You know, and just one more thing. I was just thinking about this, branching off with what you were saying, especially with Detective Hyatt. You know, we're seeing all these different cases now starting to get some type of media attention. Obviously, like mm-hmm. you were just saying, the DA's office has been working on these well before this was even established on the podcast, that this was something that was going on. But just looking at the broader picture here, what does this say about Buffalo or even the Buffalo Public Schools?
Well, I don't think you can jump to conclusions about the fact that it says anything, okay? Because, you know, what happens behind the scenes is that, you know, the DA's office and the Buffalo Police Department, you know, the sex offense unit of the Buffalo Police Department, all right, which Detective Hyatt's a part of, okay? They now, in conjunction with the Buffalo School District, do an investigation, okay? And again, I'm not there, obviously, Zach, so I don't know the particulars. I don't know, you know, who's got a beef with who here, okay, as far as, you know, anyone from the Buffalo Police Department and the Buffalo School District, you know. So, again, I'm not privy to any particulars here with regard to maybe any personal animosities between people here, okay, or circumstances that may have arisen in the course of the investigation. But I can tell you that behind the scenes, the cooperation takes place, okay? That, you know, I spent almost eight years as DA, okay? We worked with the Buffalo School District. This is obviously before this case, okay? But we worked with the Buffalo Public Schools School District, you know, all the time on assaults, on stabbings, on shootings, you know, you name it, okay, in my 8 years. And, you know, we always, at the end of the day, got cooperation, okay? And we always, at the end of the day, worked together. You know, I understand that the Buffalo Public School District, you know, wants to protect children, okay, and wants to protect information about children, all right? I always understood that in my 8 years as DA. And as a father of five kids, I appreciate that, okay? I appreciate that wanting to protect information on children, okay? Now, was it frustrating sometimes? Absolutely, okay? But you know what? At the end of the day, it all got worked out. At the end of the day, we got the information that we need. We worked together. We had great cooperation with the Buffalo School District back when I was DA, all right? And I suspect that in this case right here, you know, obviously at the end of the day, an indictment came out today, okay? An arraignment on the indictment came out today. That doesn't happen without people working together. It doesn't happen without the district attorney's office and the Buffalo School District and the Buffalo Police Department and everyone involved working together to do the right thing and bring justice here in a case like this. And so, again, I think that that's also important that comes out as well. And that's part of the narrative here.
Do you think all of the media coverage that this is getting and probably other cases in the future are getting are going to have some type of a taint on the overall investigation or even the trial?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's here. The second part of your question there deals with the trial, okay? I mean, obviously, you know, you got to be careful about, you know, talking about specific evidence in a particular case before trial, so you don't taint the jury pool, okay? And again, that's why, you know, that's why in my 8 years, you know, once the arraignment on the indictment happened, okay, and I did this on I even did this, Zach, if you remember, on the Topps case, okay, which was by far the most publicized case we've ever had in this community, okay. Once the arraignment happened after the indictment on the Topps case, I didn't say a word until he pled guilty, nor would I, okay? And that was my practice in every single case, okay? Once the arraignment happened on the indictment, I never spoke about the case because I did not want to taint the jury pool. I did not want to taint a potential trial that was going to take place. You know, that was obviously one of my main concerns during Topps was all the media attention that it got and all the statements that people were making from the President Biden on down, okay, you know, calling this guy a murderer, which and a killer and a racist murderer, which he obviously was, okay. But all that media attention, you know, my main concern in that Topps case was that the defense was going to make a motion to move that case out of Buffalo because of all the media attention that happened, and that the argument was going to be that we can't get a fair trial. Okay, that's why I kept telling everybody after a couple of days, we got to be quiet now. Okay, we can't talk about this anymore because we don't want to taint a jury pool here. All right, so you always got to be concerned about that, Zach. All right, but as far as tainting an investigation, absolutely not. I know the people in the district attorney's office. Obviously, my successor is an outstanding district attorney. He was my deputy for almost 8 years there. They're professionals. These people are the best. And I was a president of the National DA Association. I've known DA's office all over the country. Okay, these people we got here in Buffalo are the best, Zach. Okay, so they're going to investigate cases. They're going to do their job. They're going to act like professionals and do the right thing each and every time. And, you know, media coverage isn't going to have effect on that at all, because I can tell you that the Erie County DA's office, they're full of pros.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.